You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. On today's show, we're going to go into some New Year's resolutions for the Cavs. They do play the Miami Heat tonight at the 7 p.m. tip at home. Could be the Deion Waiters homecoming game for the three of you out there like me who just are infatuated by Deion. And we'll have a recap up of that as well as full coverage over at Fear the Sword. If you want a Heat perspective on that team and that game, I would highly recommend the Locked On Heat podcast hosted by David Ramil and Wes Goldberg. And if you're looking also for a Browns podcast right now, go check out Locked On Browns hosted by Jeff Lloyd. A great Monday through Friday and often Monday through Sunday, just every day of the freaking week. That guy's a machine covering the Cleveland Browns. And there's a lot going on there, obviously, with the coaching search. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Megaphone, wherever you get your shows. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on social at CWM Rights. So we're going to have five New Year's resolutions for the Cavs. We will have, I'd love to hear your guys' as well. If you want to email them, you can do so through at Locked On Cavs on Gmail. We'll have a voicemail set up for the podcast here very soon, so you could always send them in and we'll play some of them on the show. But we're going to, I think this is going to be an interesting year for this franchise. And for me, and this is my first resolution, I think it starts with the coach. So I did write all about this at For the Sword as well. If you want to read this, these resolutions in a more, in writing. But for me, the biggest thing the Cavs have to do right in 2019 is find the right coach. So I give Larry Drew a lot of credit. He was not asked to step into an easy situation after Ty Lue got fired. He took over a team missing Kevin Love. That team has only gotten more decimated by injuries. It's taken over a franchise that has more and more looked towards the future and a youth movement. In my mind, I think for the job he's done, for the respect he has among a lot of players in the team, I think he deserves a Greg Williams-esque interview at season's end. I think he should get an interview. I think he deserves that. He deserves that at this point. But to me, I think Drew would be a tough sell as a head coach. I think he's a very pragmatic coach, one who players like, one who coaches to what the roster really allows for. What I think he is best suited for is what the Cavs were before this. He'd be good for a veteran team with a formed identity and a playing style. So if the Cavs, in theory, you know, they're going to get a top 10 pick this year, they bring back certain guys, and they say, okay, we have Kevin Love, Colin Sexton, ex-young player. We're going to play this certain style of basketball. Larry's the guy to shepherd this. Maybe in that scenario, Drew is the right fit. I could understand that. I would not think it's the most inventive hire, but I would understand it. But if I were Kobe Altman, if I were Dan Gilbert, what I would be looking to do is taking cues from other teams that have rebuilt in recent memory. So look at what the Nets did in hiring Kenny Atkinson, or what the Hawks did in hiring Lloyd Pierce. Look at what the Sixers did a while even further back in hiring Brett Brown. These are teams that hired coaches who were known for player development work. So these are teams, Philly is a little different now, obviously, but in specifically looking at the Nets and the Hawks, these are teams that installed ball movement, heavy, three-point oriented offenses that make up for not having a standout star to build everything up. I don't think, as the roster is constructed right now, that the Cavs have a guy that I would go out of my way to just build every little last thing around. Kevin Love can be a really, really good hub of good offense. I still think that's true. We need to see it, though. And I think you could do some things to better support him in this NBA. It's a very different NBA than the one he was starring in with the Wolves, you know, 5 years ago now. So I think getting a guy who can develop Sexton, a guy who can develop Jetty, the number one pick, Ante Zizic, can maybe help Larry Nance continue to grow. That's the kind of guy you want to be looking for. I'm not going to go into names. I think it's too early. I think we're a very far way off from really getting into some of these names. But that this is a thing. So again, I think it's too early to have a narrow list of candidates. Larry Drew deserves an interview. But I think this coaching hire is the biggest decision the Cavs will likely make in 2019. It's that or who they draft. It's probably 1A draft, 1B this. Whoever is hired next is at the helm of the Sexton-Osman 2019 first-round pick era. They have to get this coaching hire right if they want to be competent again. So number one, hire the right coach and don't just settle for a coach. So number two, we're going to go a little bit of a shorter one here for this first segment, but first one is keeping David Nwaba. I'm a big David Nwaba supporter. The on-off numbers are ridiculous. Just go to Basketball Reference, go to the on-off numbers, and take a look. They're absurd. He's really good. Right now, he's the only Cavalier wing who can capably defend multiple positions and knows how and when to rotate on defense. For now, at least, that makes him unique to this Cavs roster, at least among the wing players. But because of his lack of NBA service time and the length of the deal he signed with the Cavs this offseason, he will be a restricted free agent next summer, meaning the Cavs will have the inside track to keep him if they want to keep him. Again, I get that his lack of shooting ability is a concern, but this is a guy who's a smart cutter. He rebounds well among wings. Per Killian Glass, he is in the 85th percentile of rebounding missed field goal attempts among wings. He draws fouls at an absurdly high rate. And again, he's not a modern 3D wing, but he's a good one who can help teams. Cleveland, as a franchise, does have a number of wings. It has to figure out what it wants to do with next summer. Nwaba, Rodney Hood, Alec Burks, if he's not traded, Patrick McCaw are all there. You could throw, what do you really think of Jetty at the end of the year? You could throw the likely wing they're going to take in the draft, as long as they don't take a Bol Bol or a Zion in that as well. But to me, among the Nwaba, Hood, Burks, McCaw core, I think Nwaba is the guy I would value the most. He has the best attribute in his defense. He's really good at stuff. He's a smart player. And he provides something other people don't. And I think there's something there that you can really make use of. You can probably get him back on a fair deal. I think a 3-ish year deal for him, if he's down for it, would make a lot of sense. And again, to me, I think he's the guy out of those guys that are going to be maybe on the open market this summer for them. I think he's the guy I would prioritize bringing back the most. If you're curious, we need to see what McCaw looks like with the Cavs, but McCaw, Hood, Burks, I would probably go in that order, with Nwaba kind of being ahead there, especially because he can also play the four, and he can probably guard every position on the floor. Just a super valuable guy. If I'm the Cavs, I'm keeping him and incorporating him into my plans in some way. He's a very smart player. Love to see them keep him around. That's going to be it for the first segment on today's show. We're going to take a quick break here from some sponsors, and we're going to be back with the first 2019 episode of Locked On Cavaliers, so stay tuned. And we are back with more Locked On Cavaliers. So my number three resolution for the Cleveland Cavaliers is that they should not rush into trying to win again. I'm going to take you back to a bleak time in Cavaliers history, the 2013-14 season, as an explanation as of why. So that year, the Cavs had a young Kyrie Irving, they had Tristan Thompson, they had Dan Waiters, Tyler Zeller. They were a year, Anthony Bennett was on this team. This was a team that I think wanted to make the playoffs. If you looked at the moves they made that summer, they signed Jared Jack, who was coming off a good year with the Warriors. They signed Earl Clark as these veteran presences. They took the gamble on Andrew Bynum. They brought back Mike Brown, who they believed probably should have been fired the first time for whatever reason. Okay, so this is how those worked out. Bynum, as famously due to contract detrimental to the team, was suspended, ultimately traded away. Jared Jack traded away. Earl Clark traded away that very season. Mid-season, they bring back Luol Deng. They trade for Luol Deng, and Spencer Hawes in an effort to be respectable mid-season when those off-season moves didn't work. And again, this was the year they brought back Mike Brown before he was fired again. Chris Grant was fired in mid-season. I was in college at the time. I was in a Psych 101 class. I was like 19, 20 years old. And I can remember getting the push alert that Chris Grant, I've been a sophomore, I think, at OU, and he had been fired. And I was just like, okay, this is just a normal Cavs incompetent moment. That Cavs team, the 2013-14 Cavs, won 33 games. They did not make the playoffs. Again, Earl Clark traded midseason, Jack dealt the following summer. And the only way the Cavs luck into competence after this was in the summer of 2014. A certain guy that wore number 23 comes home. They win the lottery that year to get the number one pick, which they became Andrew Wiggins, which they traded for Kevin Love. They make four straight finals. LeBron leaves. They're obviously very bad again, currently the worst team in the NBA. I say this as a cautionary tale. So the Cavs rush into this. They went to a uninventive coaching hire. They tried to force themselves into making the playoffs. That is what the goal was that year. We can look back at that and 100% say that. To me, this isn't to say that they should not sign free agents. They're going to spend money. They need to, but they need to do it very smartly. These should be smart signings, maybe analytically driven signings, and ones that don't force the young core into something it is not ready for or that it's not. Colin Sexton is 19 years old. Jetty is 23. Zizic is in that same age group. He's very, very young. He's very raw. We don't know if any of these guys are good. We don't know if whoever they take in the 2019 draft, whether it's Zion, whether it's RJ Barrett, whoever, we don't know if that guy's going to be good. And if all three of those guys, four if you include Zizic, although it's very up in the air if he's in the future plans, really, we don't even know if those guys being good or if they're going to be good enough will be enough to make them a playoff team right away. Again, maybe Kevin Love is around. Maybe he kind of raises their level up enough, and he's healthy and ages well, and he can help them make the playoffs with that young core. And Tristan's running, yada, yada. And look, this is in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs are in the worst of the two conferences by a significant amount. This is in the East. It is much easier to get wins. It is not hard to imagine the Cavs becoming something like the Pistons or Hornets in a year. That means being a 6-8 seed every year. Maybe you're not drawing a ton of fans. Maybe your payroll is a little bit higher than you'd like, but you're not at the bottom of the league, and there's something you can feel good about that. But to me, this is a Cavs team that should not try to force that reality. I'm not saying they're going to leap from 15th in the East to number 3 again in 2 years by staying patient right now. But if they have higher ambitions than just being a mid-table Eastern Conference team, and that's a hard thing to do, and I can understand if they don't want to do that, they have to take this slow. Number one, they still have that top 10 protected pick that goes to the Hawks, and they could lose another first-round pick in 2020. Maybe that 2020 draft isn't as good or whatever. Maybe they pick later in the lottery. But getting another lottery pick is a good way to get a good young talent and at least have a chance at getting good young talent you can actually build around. If they can keep that pick, that is a way to give themselves the best chance of building around something that isn't patchwork, plug-holing roster building. Is this an easy sell to ownership, to the fans, to the people that are not having fun going to games right now? No. And the Cavs would surely like to be in the playoff hunt again sooner rather than later. This is, again, a franchise that has not made the playoffs without LeBron James since the 90s. It has been for basically forever since they've made a playoff run without LeBron. But again, look back to 2013-14. Look back at the Jarrett Jack, the Earl Clark signings, the Bynum signings, the trade for Deng, the trade for Hawes, bringing back Mike Brown, and then firing Mike Brown after a year. The only reason any of that, we don't talk about that more as a big failure, is because LeBron comes in, they get Kevin Love because they got lucky in the lottery, and that getting LeBron and winning the title and all that comes with having the greatest player ever gets washed away because he covers up for so much of your incompetence. So to me, you have to learn from 2013-14. You have to learn from those mistakes and take it slow. Don't rush this. Give your young guys a chance to develop. Get some of these bad contracts off your books. Use the picks you're getting for taking on these bad contracts and draft smart players, develop them, be in the player development business, and see where that gets you. See if you can aim for something a little bit better than being a mid-table Eastern Conference team. It is possible, and for me, that should be the focus of the Cavs 2019. We're going to take one more break, and then we're going to be back with more Locked On Cavaliers, so stay tuned. And we are back with the last two resolutions for the Cavaliers. So the next one is Colin Sexton related. So right now he is the most high-profile young player the Cavs have. All respect to Jetty, but Sexton is the guy the Cavs have to hope works out. He's a top 10 pick. He was the prize pick from the Kyrie trade, and he's still really young. He's 19. He is not a finished product, and he should not be defined by what he is right now. But heading into 2019, Colin Sexton is a mid-range heavy player. He does not look, to me, totally comfortable taking three-pointers unless he absolutely has to, depending on the situation. He has downplayed that when he's asked about it. I think his shot profile lays that out to be true. According to Cleaning the Glass, Colin Sexton is in the 100th percentile, aka the very most in the league in terms of mid-range shot frequency. He is in the fourth percentile in non-corner three-pointer frequency. So basically, in non-corner threes, in terms of above the break threes, the threes he's most likely going to be taking, he's in the fourth percentile. By comparison, Hawks rookie Trae Young is in the 60th percentile in non-corner three-pointer frequency and in the 27th percentile in mid-range frequency. So he's a much more modern player right now. Someone like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the Clippers, who was mocked to the Cavs in a lot of drafts, and obviously didn't really want to come to Cleveland based on the reporting that we've kind of had out there, is more like Sexton, but maybe a little bit more modern. I will not tell you that Colin Sexton needs to flip all the way to the Trae Young shooting profile to be successful. I don't think all mid-range shots are bad. Some are fine, especially if you're really good at them. He's definitely able to get them off with comfort. It's something he has a really nice pull-up jumper that is a tool in his bag. He should not just get rid of it. But right now, I think you're seeing, because teams know he's not going to take three-pointers, defenders are just going to go under every screen set for him. They're going to run zones against him. It's what the Heat did last week and just really confounded Colin Sexton. They're going to do this, and it's going to take him out of games. He can drive, but it's going to be clog lanes because the Cavs' spacing isn't great, and there's not just a ton of room for him there. And he's not yet great at getting to the free throw line, and he's not yet great at finishing through contact either. Right now, the game plan is there to defend Colin Sexton, and it's on him to adapt. He could be a fine player without a three-point. Like, you can be a good NBA player with and a good guard without being a great three-point shooter. Russell Westbrook's a fantastic player, won an MVP. He's on a really good team. He isn't a good three-point shooter. Reality. But he'd be better if he was. He'd be even better if he was. It's a shot that Colin's really going to need to take advantage of unless he's just going to become an elite finisher inside and just be able to athleticism his way by people. I don't know how likely that is. I would like him to just at least get more comfortable taking threes to keep defenses honest. And if he can at least be competent at threes, he doesn't need to be Trae Young. He doesn't need to be Kyrie or Steph or any or Kemba. He needs to be a version of Colin Sexton that can take threes, take them confidently, and take them well enough and make enough of them that defenders have to come out and defend him. And then he can blow by them and use the screens and use his best ability, his best attribute, which is his athleticism, and get to the lane. That is what he needs to do. That is what will set him apart. That is what will get him to the next level. In my opinion, in 2019, Colin Sexton needs to adapt, get comfortable with that shot, start making more of them, and he will thrive in a way that we have seen glimpses of, but it is not all the way tapped because that shot is just not there for him yet. And the last resolution I have is, look, the Cavs, I think, this year need to decide on how Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson fit into their future plans. So of the players left from the 2016 title team, we know what Channing Frye's future is. He's on a one-year deal. Could be somewhere else next year, could retire. Not really part of the next 5 years of Cavaliers basketball. J.R. Smith has played his last game with the Cavaliers, although he's still getting checks from the team. But what is the future holds for Love and Thompson, to me, is still up in the air. We don't know yet. To start with Thompson, he is signed only through next season, but it's interesting to think about the possibilities for him. So would they want to flip him and clear the way for Larry Nance Jr. to be the team center and maybe get a wing back in return? Or do they view Thompson as someone it can build with to lead the younger core at least through next season, if not beyond? Is there value in having that guy there in the locker room to help ground things and keep things organized and instill that culture and the lessons learned from the LeBron era, at least the positive ones, in the locker room? If you kept Thompson around to lead and play well at a reasonable price, that's not the worst idea in the world. You know, and as for Love, there was speculation from the moment he signed his extension this summer that he could be traded at some point. Maybe a team like the Nuggets, who Mark Stein mentioned, floated, kind of not reporting, but speculated that could be interested in him in his newsletter sent out on Tuesday. They could be a team, the Jazz, or the Hornets, or just someone that feels the need to get Kevin Love to take the next step because they feel he complements their other good players, or they need a roster shakeup, or they missed out on free agents next summer. Maybe a team like that gets interested in Love. Or maybe the Cavs keep Kevin Love around. He stays the face of the franchise, the all-star caliber player on the franchise, and he helps give the young guys time to develop by taking some of the heat off of them. He gives the offense structure. He certainly would help with that right now. And he's expensive. He's only going to get more expensive. But there's no doubt right now that if he was healthy, the Cavs offense would be less of a disaster. He would help Colin Sexton. He would help Jetty Osman. He'd help everyone. He'd help David Nwaba as a cutter. Maybe we don't get clarity on their futures until June. Maybe we get it at the deadline. Maybe one or both these guys get flipped, right? Maybe that happens. But come June, the Cavs will pick someone that they will cement as part of their future, that they will say, we are going to build around this young player. It could mean getting Zion. It could be getting someone like DeAndre Hunter, who Trevor Magnani and I are going to talk about on Friday. Go to a lot of different ways. But if they get Zion or RJ Barrett at the top of the draft, those would mean two different things for the Cavs' future front court. And I think in 2019, when drafting the next players, when drafting their future, when planning for the future, they need to just decide how Kevin Love and Thompson fit into that future. I'm not saying either player should be untradeable. Neither player should be off limits. But I don't think either player should be traded away for nothing either. That's a fine line to walk. But I think both could fit into the Cavs' future. It would not shock me if, like, the guys that are on the roster in 3 years would be Sexton, Osman, Love, Nance, and Thompson. Like, that is not out of the realm of possibility to me. But it wouldn't shock me if both Thompson and Love are gone in a year either. I think both are on the table, and I think 2019, in deciding what you want to be and how you're going to be, what you say you want to be and are building to be, this is the year you start to figure that out, and deciding on these two guys, I think, is a big part of that. So that is going to be it for today's podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. The show is on Facebook and Twitter at LockedOnCavs. If you have mailbag questions, submit those to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com or to LockedOnCavs on Twitter. At Fear the Sword right now, Trevor Magnani's draft guide is up, and he'll be on Friday for this week's Draft Friday. We'll have game previews, my resolutions in written form. Carter Rodriguez is writing about Patrick McCaw, which I think is a really good piece on what he could provide for the Cavs. And we're going to be back on Thursday recapping Cavs Heat. McCaw should make his debut in that game, we'll see how he performs if he does play, and everything else coming out of the good and the bad from that game. But this has been Locked On Cavaliers for Wednesday, January 2nd. I'm Chris Manning. Thanks again for listening. Hope you had a great New Year's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.